It's the Disneyland with Kids podcast, bringing you travel tips, park tidbits, and the best Southern California travel deals. Have you heard of Disney Vacation Club or DVC? They are Disney's version of a timeshare, and they have lots of properties, mostly at Walt Disney World, but we have the Grand Californian that has it at Disneyland, and now we have a brand new property, the Disneyland Hotel. We're going to talk about it today. I'm Becca from This Crazy Adventure Called Life, and I don't have Jessica today with me. Instead, I have one of the other Disneyland Kid co-founders.
I'm Leslie from Trips with Tykes. Glad to finally be on the reboot of the podcast, Disneyland with Kids podcast.
I know. I'm so happy to have you on with me today because you recently stayed at the new Disney Vacation Villas at Disneyland Hotel. So we're going to talk all about that. And let's start with the fact that these just opened at the end of September, correct?
End of September, and I was there within the first 2 or 3 weeks of the operations, maybe 3 weeks of the operations. And even as we're recording today, Becca, so by the time people listen to this, the last little bit and piece of the property opened up with the opening of the Palm Breeze bar, the pool bar at the Villas.
Yeah, that wasn't open when you went, so you didn't get to experience that. But first, really quickly, let's talk about just Disney Vacation Club in general. You would think one of the four of the Disneyland with Kid co-founders would be a member, but none of us are. But I'm pretty sure you can give a good rundown because you've stayed at several properties.
Yeah, that's right. I have almost been a member, Becca. Let's be fair. I have kicked the tires. I have taken like a half dozen tours. I have like run the numbers. I get the calls from Disney. They know that I am out there, and at some point we will cave probably and purchase. So definitely I feel like I'm up on what's going on with DVC, but like you said, it's Disney's answer to the timeshare, but it's better, I would say, than traditional timeshares. I mean, the way it works is there, you know, two dozen properties across the country. Most of them, like you said, are in Florida at Walt Disney World. But then there's Aulani in Hawaii, which I have been to many times. There now are two properties at Disneyland. And then there are a couple of odd properties like Hilton Head and Vero Beach. So you have a wide variety of properties. And what people do, instead of like the traditional timeshare where you buy a week at a certain property, you buy points at a into the system, but then you have a home resort. So you aren't limited to that home resort, but that home resort, you get like priority to make your reservations there, but then you just exchange the points for rooms. So smaller studio rooms cost less. If you want a big 2 or 3 bedroom villa, those of course cost more. And then there are all these sort of calculations you can do to bank and borrow those points from each year. So if 1 year you want to blow it out, use all your points from the previous year, and the next year you can and get a bigger villa.
Definitely. I do want to also mention, because I also have done the tour many times, that I think the outside timeshare that's probably the closest would be Worldmark, because I know they utilize a point system as well. But they also tie in your Disney Vacation Club with other timeshares that use like a point system. So you can actually book other places as well using your points. So even if you're not going to Disney every year, or if you're like worried you're going to lose some points, you might be able to do that. Of course, most people do tend to use their Disney Vacation Club points at a Disney location. That's where that's why they're buying into it. But I do want to make sure that people know that that option is out there. And before we get into even more of the Disneyland Hotel villas, we also have a little hack for you. If you're not quite ready to buy, where should people go if they don't want to pay the rate that's on the website or through, just buy like booking it like a regular hotel room?
So there is a hack. It's called renting someone's DVC points. There are a couple of different ways to do this. I mean, if you know somebody personally who is a DVC member, you guys can make a deal. I mean, I do this with friends sometimes. You know, I'll rent their points and they make money and I save money. So it's a win-win. But if you don't know anybody, you don't have somebody to hit up in your, friend and family circle, there are two different companies that act as sort of clearinghouses for these points. So owners, you know, give their points to the clearinghouse, you rent through the clearinghouse. David's Vacation Club Rentals is one of them. And then there's the DVC rental store. So we'll probably drop some links in the show notes or something like that, right, Becca?
Yeah. Obviously with renting points or booking and booking that way versus booking through the, like just like a hotel room, is that you do need to be able to pay for those points up front. Whereas like, it's not just the one night deposit through Disneyland, or you can't like put in layaway like you can if you booked it through Getaway Today. So there is that difference. You need to be ready to put that money right away. Like I think you get, they give you like 48 hours, right? Or something like that to pay it after you've been accepted. Like
yeah. Small. So it's very quick. And then you're locked in. I mean, this is not something that's refundable, like a hotel reservation would be. So this is something that you want to be careful with. I mean, we did it quite a bit before COVID. And then when of course things were reopening again, we didn't want to do it in 2021, 2022, because we just didn't know what would happen with our travel plans. Like we went to Aulani one time and we were like, well, what if we don't pass the COVID test that we needed to pass to get on a flight to Hawaii? Like we couldn't. So we rented, you know, direct from Disney that time through Getaway Today. So this is something you do have to sort of understand the pros and cons and the risks, and the savings are great, but you are locked in and you don't have the flexibility that of course many families need.
So let's get into the vacation villas. It's a brand new tower. Like this is a whole addition to the Disneyland Hotel. In my mind at first, I was kind of like, I'm not sure about it. But having been in there once the tower was built before it opened, like it really completes it. It kind of seals in that courtyard pool area so that you feel secluded. And I think it looks great. What is the name of that new tower that all the villas are located in?
Yes, they're calling it the Discovery Tower, because if you know your Disneyland Hotel nomenclature, there is the Fantasy Tower, which is tower with the lobby. Then there is the Adventure Tower and the Frontier Tower. So this is the Discovery Tower. I'm kind of confused. Like they could have gone with the Tomorrow Tower, because that would have been like the original four lands of Disneyland Park. Yeah. But, you know, I'm going with it.
Yeah. And we actually recently had an episode where Jessica talked about the history of the Disneyland Hotel and the different towers and how many times they've been renamed. So that is a great listen after this episode if you want to go check it out. And we'll link that down in the show notes as well. Okay. So it's the Discovery Tower. And it has a different look than the other towers from the outside. It's got some colorful, like, panels, but it still looks great. I think it blends in well. So I don't think it's like off-putting, but let's talk about the tower itself, the rooms, what kind of decor you're going to find, because it is way different inside the rooms than the other towers.
Yes, very different. I do have to say the exterior still is getting to me a little bit. Like it doesn't match the other three towers, that I'm a very matchy-matchy person, but it's pretty. And I have to say, like I saw it under different stages of construction, and now that it's finished and now that they have the full color palette on the exterior, it looks very nice. But still, it doesn't look the same as the other three towers. So it's going to throw people off like me who are, I don't know, like to have things just so.
They want you to know. Special tower you'll probably never be able to afford. That's what it is.
That's right.
We'll get into that a little bit more later, but
sure.
What about
back to the rooms? Yeah, back to the inside. So there's really not a lot going on the main floor. I mean, it's really just a cute mural, a beautiful mural actually, when you walk in, and lots of seating in the lobby, but there's not a front desk or anything like that. You still check in at the main front desk of the Disneyland Hotel, and then you walk over to this Discovery Tower. And it does feel a little bit separate. There's like kind of a separate sign as you're approaching the tower. You can walk either direction around the pool if you know sort of where you start in the lobby, but most people are walking kind of the long way around to the official entrance. But inside, so there's really not much going on in the lobby, but then you get into the rooms, and they are just so well done. I stayed in one of the studio units. There are actually two types of studio units in the villas. There's a duo studio, which is meant for just two people. And if you're familiar with, they have those at the Riviera Resort in Walt Disney World as well. But then there's just sort of a standard studio. And this is much more like the studio that I stayed in at Aulani with my family. And it sleeps four, has two queen beds, but one of the beds is a Murphy bed. And it is the coolest Murphy bed that I've ever seen in my life, Becca. Did you see it when I posted on Instagram?
We'll put video. So if you watch this on YouTube, Hopefully Leslie has video I can put over of this. I love this. And I've seen, you know, I'm working on a Walt Disney World trip for my family, and we're a family of five, and we're bringing my mother-in-law, so it's six. So we've been looking at the different ones, and I love the new Murphy bed style they're going with. They're putting it in some of the reimagining, as they're like refreshing some of the hotels over in Walt Disney World stuff, but it's way better than a pull-out sofa. It's got a good mattress on it, and it like folds the furniture that's under it down when you bring it down. It's really cool. So definitely check out, if you are not watching this on YouTube, head over to the Disney with Kids YouTube channel and watch this so you can see that. But it's really cool. I thought it was amazing, and it looks so much more comfortable than a sofa bed ever could be.
Yeah. I mean, it still wasn't as comfortable, I would say, as the main queen bed, but it was head and shoulders above sofa beds. And my kids shared the queen bed and enjoyed it a lot. And then, like a lot of the pull down beds do at Disney, you get, when you pull the Murphy bed down, there's some decor behind it that's really quite nice. So it adds to the theming of the room. And I guess I haven't mentioned the theming of the rooms. There's several different characters that appear. The room that we happened to get was Tiana. So we had lots of Princess and the Frog touches. And you won't get the Sleeping Beauty Castle headboard at the villas, but you will get decor over the bed. And we had a bright Tiana scene, and it does light up. So it works like a nightlight like you have at the Disneyland Hotel. It was lovely, but it's not the same look and style. If you really want to have a dream is a wish your heart makes, not going to get it. Sorry.
Yeah. And also, just one thing I have noticed personally is it's a lot brighter, more colorful, whereas the Disneyland, other towers at the Disneyland Hotel have been more, they're darker, like, and not in a bad way, but like they have the dark carpet with the fireworks on them and the dark wood. So it's a big, I think the biggest contrast is within the rooms. So we've talked about the rooms. Let's move back outside, because one big thing about DVCs is they're supposed to have the best pools of all the properties, right? I am torn on this whole idea of how they did this. So explain the DVC tower pool for us.
So it's great. I'm not torn. After staying at it and seeing it, it's fantastic. So, I mean, the Disneyland Hotel already had the best pool at Disneyland. It had the monorail water slides and the big e-ticket pool. And so now what they have done, and those pools are behind a gate, right? A key carded gate in the center of the courtyard. So now what they've done is they've expanded that gated area, and they've added a pool that's kind of underneath and behind the DVC, the Villas Tower. And it's just a standard rectangle or whatever. It's not anything great, but it gives more pool space. It gives more chair space that's pool front. And then they added a splash pad that is Steamboat Willie, black and white. So cute. So, so cute. Several times, you know, an hour, it begins to steam just like the steamboat. Loved it, loved it, loved it. I thought this was like one of the best themed, like little, I mean, it's little, it's not like a big splash pad like you might see at the Grand Floridian, but it checks all of the nostalgic boxes for me. And then this is all now within that same gated area. So people who are staying at the Disneyland Hotel can go to this pool and vice versa. So you aren't limited, which I think is great. So now it makes the whole resort now feel like more of a destination to me. Just expands the footprint for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's where my, I kind of wish it would have just been a DVC only.
Oh,
that's what I'm torn on. I'm like, and I know they don't do that at any, like, if you stay at a deluxe property that has DVC in Walt Disney World, you can access that stuff. But I don't know, for some reason, I wanted this one to be exclusive. I don't know why.
Well, I have to say, I was there on a very busy day. It was a weekend. We had a pool day when we arrived on a Saturday. It was you know, it wasn't peak fall break. It wasn't peak fall break weekend. It was the weekend after the sort of peak, but it was also an 80 some odd degree day. So it was hot and a lot of people were spending time by the pool. It did not feel crowded, Becca. I have to say it spread the people out very, very well. And I was looking the whole time we were staying there. I think it gave more space to everybody. Cause I have been at the Disneyland pool, at that monorail pool, and it's been tight and it's been hard to get a chair. This spread people out better.
That's good to know. Okay. All right. I won't
salvage.
Be better.
Salvage. Like, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So of course, what everyone really wants to know about is the price. And so prices at Disneyland, they vary. Like if you're going during a peak season or a school break, it's going to be a lot more. So you went kind of during a fall break. Do you mind sharing how much you paid per night?
I do not mind. I think we paid about $680-ish dollars a night, which was not bad. Not bad for a studio. I think because we booked it pretty early, we booked it as soon as it opened up. But then actually we had to, now that I think about it, we had to change our dates slightly. So we had to shift our trip one day. So we were still able to get that same price. I have looked, I haven't seen a lot of these rooms under $700 a night since. So maybe we got a little bit of an early adopter deal. You did the research, right?
I have pulled up rates and I'm going to share with you. Now I decided to pull up rates for the off season and it's going to be like the gap can get bigger, but this is for February 5th to 7th. I've obviously pulled these up for a reason. As you know, I will be in the area down that time. And I'm like, should I do a split stay, stay at the villa, should I go stay at Pixar Place Hotel that will be opening finished by then? But I was actually really shocked that during those days, there wasn't a huge difference in pricing. Now, a standard view room at the rest of the towers, the Disneyland Hotel, was running $530 per night, a deluxe view at $577. And we're not going to get in the premium view at $612. Okay, so I'll compare those a little more coming up here. But a standard view, so the standard view, remember, at the regular room was $530. A standard view room at the villas, the studio that sleeps four, was $610. That's less than $100 more per night. So that's not bad. And that's really close to the rate that you pay. I mean, it's less than you pay, but you probably had a premium. What view do you have? Did you have, a premium?
I had a premium view. Yeah, we had a top floor view of the pool. So we had definitely had a little bit more.
Premium view at a regular room is running $612 a night during those times. The premium view for the studio that sleeps four is running $695. So within like, it's an $85 difference again, right there. It's not bad. Where you do start to see a bigger difference is a deluxe studio garden. Now I wanted to ask you about this because this is what it says. Garden rooms are separate from the main tower and provide easy access to the pool. You know what?
I saw them. And we wondered, we couldn't tell if they were rooms or if they were cabanas. So there's a little short building that's sort of behind the pool. So it's not really part of the tower. And they have balconies that overlook that pool. So those must be some very specialty room types that there aren't that many of. But I did see them and we wondered about them. And now you put the final piece in the puzzle, Becca.
Yeah, I only see studios listed for that right now, but that could just be availability. But a deluxe studio garden there, $762 per night. So it's quite, it's $100 more than your preferred view. But if it gives that closeness to the pools or it gives you that like better feel and the rooms look a little different and they also the duo there. One thing I did notice as I was looking through this, there are a lot of the one bedrooms available and the studios available. And there's even some two bedrooms available. But when I was looking, I could not find a date with a three bedroom not being sold out. So
that's
three
bedrooms. Standard.
Let's talk about those because these are huge villas, though. You've seen the concept and all that kind of art and stuff, but let's talk about the villas.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the concept art, but I didn't dive in. I will say that like these three bedroom grand villas, like at Aulani, they're impossible to get. The only people who are booking them are people who are you know, this is their home resort. They have a ton of points. They're booking them at the 11-month mark. It's going to be next to impossible to get them as a non-DVC guest. But the theming there, you know, this is the Pirates of the Caribbean suite. This is the, you know, this is the equivalent of that in the villas to what the Disneyland Hotel has. This is the big splurge.
Yeah. So let me read the description a little bit and tell you about it. It is a 3-bedroom grand villa. It has its own patio. And then the living room has like a double-sided fireplace. So you get the fireplace from the living room and into the patio. They are 2 stories. I think all of them are 2 stories. And it includes 1 king bed, 4 queen beds, and 2 twin-size pull-down beds. It can sleep up to 12 adults. It's huge. It's beautiful. But it is very hard, like Leslie said, to lock in. And just for reference, a 2-bedroom can sleep up to 9 adults, a 1-bedroom up to 5, and then the studios could sleep up to 4, unless you get the duo that only can sleep 2. So that's a little information for you there. Last part of the information, though, is Leslie, we had heard rumors that they didn't think people were going to be able to buy into the Disneyland Hotel DVC Tower as their home resort because they expected it to sell out. And you and I were talking about this because they haven't sold out. You can very much still go and make this your home resort. You said you had a theory as to why. So I want to hear it.
Yeah. So if you follow, I mean, the DVC, you'll know that the newer buildings have just got more restrictions. I mean, this was true of Riviera. You know, there are different resale restrictions, and I'm not even going to get into the weeds about all of that. But one big restriction that the Disneyland Hotel has is the city of Anaheim. And the city of Anaheim, if you are still going to be charged hotel tax if you stay as a member of DVC at the villas. So when you buy into the villas, you aren't done paying. When you go and stay, you'll still have to pay Anaheim's hotel tax. This is not true at the Grand Californian. So I think this has made the property less sought after. A lot of people actually who thought they were going to buy into the Disneyland Hotel DVC went and bought resale at the Grand Californian because there were fewer restrictions on that property. So now those are in demand. But, you know, I mean, I think for some people, the Disneyland Hotel is the original, it's the classic. It has that appeal. I understand it. I mean, we certainly have looked at it ourselves, but it does have more restrictions and it does have that extra hotel tax. And there was some talk too about parking possibly being charged. Although right now DVC members are not charged parking there. And that may just be something they've put in the fine print to hedge their bets against contingencies. And maybe they'll never charge parking, but that asterisk did make people, you know, give a second look. So, you know, I don't know. You do you. If you're thinking about buying, there are very few properties to buy into, and getting that early booking window, if you're a member of that as your home resort, that, you know, does trump for some people, because if you want to go Christmas week,
especially if you want the 3 bedrooms, like we were talking about.
Right. Right.
So I have to ask, since you brought up the resale and the grand and people doing that, aren't they limiting resales now? Like the newer ones can't use resale to book.
I can't remember all the fine
properties. I know some are from that writes for the Points Guy, and what's her site? Does she have her own site anymore?
Not anymore. Mommy Points is her handle. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But she talked about this and how you can't, cause she just rebought. She bought some resale, and you can't, like, I guess you can't stay at the Riviera or something. I don't know. So definitely look into everything. Never just jump in and buy. Definitely do your research. And like we said, we are not members, any of the Disneyland Kids co-founders, but we do have friends that are, so we can direct you places that you can get all that information.
For sure. And I learn it and then they change it and I have to learn it again. That's sort of what you can't rely on the research that you did last year because the rules change, you know, regularly.
Exactly. Well, we have gone over, but there was so much to cover. That's all we have time for you today. And remember to like this and subscribe to the Disney with Kids podcast, and we will see you real soon.